The word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 28, verses 17 to 22. Please turn to page 237 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people, or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. The Jews objected, so I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of our people who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect." Amen. Paul, who had entered Rome as the prisoner on trial because he had appealed to the emperor, was transferred to the commander of the Roman Imperial Guard. Commander Afranius Brutus did not imprison Paul in the Praetorium, the prison of the Roman Imperial Guard. Because the commander granted a favor to Paul by letting him stay outside the prison, Paul could stay in a cheap barn he had rented. But since Paul was a prisoner on trial, he did not stay alone in the barn. The commander of the Roman Imperial Guard had chained Paul and had one soldier stay with Paul to protect him. At the time, the prisoner on trial staying outside the prison had his wrist chained to the wrist of a soldier, keeping an eye on the prisoner. This was done to prevent the prisoner from running away. Let's look at verse 17. 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. After 3 days passed since Paul rented a cheap barn in Rome, he invited the local Jewish leaders, the Jews with the highest standing, to his home. This raises the question, why didn't Paul invite Roman Christians first? Didn't Roman Christians in Puteoli greet Paul when they heard the news about Paul's journey to Rome? They walked to the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns, which takes 2 days and 4 days respectively, on foot. Thus, the proper next step that Paul should have taken when he settled in Rome would have been to invite those Christians. But his first guests after 3 days since Paul arrived were the local Jewish leaders. Based on today's scripture, it seems as if Paul avoided Roman Christians. According to the Acts of Paul, written by an elder from the Asia Minor during the end of the 2nd century, Paul stayed with Roman Christians after he entered Rome. It had been his first time going to Rome, and Rome was the largest city in the Mediterranean. How could have Paul found a cheap barn to rent in a large city like Rome? Because Roman Christians who had greeted Paul at the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns had stayed with Paul and helped him, Paul could have found a home without difficulty at his first visit. So after 3 days of searching, Paul had invited the local Jewish leaders to his home. It's easy to think of the local Jewish leaders as high-standing government officials in Rome, but most of the Jews living in Rome were actually the lowest class of laborers, the poor. Sometimes there were non-laborers such as merchants, teachers, clowns, and poets, but these were just a small representative. So the local Jewish leaders that Paul invited were not prominent people in the social circle of Rome, but Jewish leaders that had great influence among the Jewish community in Rome. Since Jews were born a Jew, Jewish leaders had absolute clout in any given region. Their job or assets did not matter. Wherever Paul visited, he always found the Jewish synagogue of that city. That was the easiest way of spreading the gospel to the Jewish people in that region. But in Rome, Paul was constrained to staying in this cheap barn, so he could not visit the Jewish synagogues in Rome. Thus, Paul had invited the local Jewish leaders who had absolute influence over Roman Jews to his home. The latter part of verse 17 testifies as follows. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans." They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. The Jews objected, so I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people. The crowd of Jewish high priests claimed Paul was an apostate and tried their best to kill him. Within 2 years' time, they falsely accused Paul to Governor Felix and Festus. 40 Jews even formed an assassination team to kill Paul under the group of high priests' quiet approval. Consequently, the innocent Paul had to appeal to the emperor using his Roman citizenship. The crowd of high priests in Jerusalem who knew about this sent a letter to Roman Jews accusing Paul before he even arrived in Rome after appealing to the emperor. That's why he explained why he had appealed to the emperor in a restrained manner so that the local Jewish leaders in Rome would not misunderstand him. He emphasized that he was not trying to accuse the Jews. Let's look at verse 20. "For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." Paul continued to explain why he was in chains. He explained that he was not a prisoner who had not followed the Roman law, but for the hope of Israel, the same hope for Jews, the hope of the Messiah that Jewish people had been waiting for. Let's look at verse 21. They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of our people who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you." The local Jewish leaders in Rome, who heard Paul's explanation, said that they had not received a letter from Jerusalem about Paul, and no one had come to slander him. Their response was actually a political response to Paul, who they had met for the first time, and not necessarily true. Verse 22 testifies as so. Verse 22, "But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect." Jewish leaders in Rome knew that the gospel Paul was spreading was receiving a position everywhere. In other words, they already knew that the gospel was not received in Jerusalem, the origin of Jewish faith. This indicates that the crowd of high priests in Jerusalem had, in some form or another, announced renouncing Paul. But the local Jewish leaders in Rome did not unreasonably oppose Paul. They first wanted to hear the gospel Paul was sharing. We will look more into this content next time. Today, we want to focus on Paul's testimony. "It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." Paul was not the only person who had the hope for the Messiah. Any Jew was bound to hope for the Messiah God had promised in the Old Testament. However, not all Jews that have hoped for the Messiah to come was bound in chains like Paul. Only Paul was bound in chains. Because of the accusation from the Jews who hoped for the Messiah as well, Paul, who hoped for the Messiah, had to live a life bound in chains. There was a reason for this. The Messiah that Jews, who had suffered from numerous invasion and reign of powerful countries for many centuries, was waiting for the Messiah, the political Messiah, who would free them from the reign of the Roman Empire and bring economic prosperity. Since that Messiah is the God coming on earth, it was unthinkable that humans could make him suffer or even kill him. Thus, the Messiah of resurrection could of course not exist. Since the Messiah cannot die, there could not be a resurrection for immortal Messiah. To sum up, the Messiah that Jews hoped for was a phoenix on a white horse, conquering the Roman emperor. However, Christians argued that the poor Jesus from Nazareth, Jesus who did not have anything to do with political independence or economic prosperity, and the powerless Jesus who was killed on the cross, was the Messiah. Not only that, Jesus conquered that death in 3 days and was born again. That was blasphemous for Jews who had hoped for another Messiah. Someone who claims that Jesus was the Messiah was the public enemy to be eliminated from the Jews' perspective, since that person was a traitor, insulting the Messiah and confusing the public. Paul and Jews both had hoped for the Messiah, but the type of the Messiah they had hoped for was so conspicuously different. For Paul, the Messiah could not be one of the flesh, merely granting political independence and economic prosperity. For Paul, the Messiah had to be the Messiah of eternal life, who saves us from the wages of sin and death. On that note, only the Jesus of Nazareth, who died on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins and conquered death in 3 days and rose again, could be the true Messiah, the reason for living and hope. As the result of that hope, Paul had to live a life bound in chains night and day. We are told that during that time, Paul's home was a cheap barn in Rome. In those days, a typical family home within the city of Rome did not have a barn. Only poor families living on the outskirts of Rome had barns. Jewish leaders of Rome, who were invited by Paul to the cheap barn located in the slums, were also mostly poor. Paul did not testify to them that he became successful because he believed in Jesus, the Messiah. Instead, Paul confidently testified that because of the hope of Jesus Christ, he lived in chains. The testimony of poor Paul towards the poor Roman Jews delivered in the cheap barn located in the outskirts of Rome is deeply touching for us and resonates in our hearts. A person is likely to be bound to what he or she hopes for. A soccer player who hopes to become a member on the national team is bound to that hope. To have the hope become true, he or she gives up things that are not going to make that hope a reality. The list of 23 players on the South Korean national team to participate in the 21st World Cup, which will start in 2 weeks in Russia, was confirmed yesterday. They are surely players who are bound to that hope for a very long time. If a soccer player does whatever he or she wants to do, then he or she cannot be chosen to be on the national team, nor even a sports club. The purpose of life and hope of Paul was only Jesus Christ, the one who gave eternal life and salvation through the cross. For that hope, Paul gave up everything he had considered to be his life purpose and pride as if it was garbage. Because of that hope, Paul did not mind a life in chains. The chain on Paul's wrist was tied to the wrist of the Roman soldier guarding him. This was just how things turned out on the surface. At the time, Paul had sufficient capacity and conditions to succeed. However, Paul willingly chose to be in chains in his late years, living in a cheap barn located in the outskirts of Rome, because he had hope for Jesus Christ. On that note, the chain on the wrist of Paul was actually the wrist that tied him to Jesus Christ. It was only natural for Paul, who regarded Jesus Christ as his life, purpose, and hope, to be bound to Jesus Christ day and night. For Paul, who had to die from sin, there was nothing more precious than the eternal life and eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. Thus, it is only natural that the Lord eternally planted Paul with all his heart and soul as his eternal preparatus and martyrs. Thus, living bound to Jesus Christ is the path of knowledge, placing oneself on top of the eternal rock in any circumstance. This is the reason why Jesus Christ is our reason for hope in the despair of death. 10 days ago, there was a district gathering at our church member's house in Suwon, Gwangyo. It was not a small gathering where 17 people attended for dinner and sharing. The household head, who had invited members of his district over barbecue, had migrated to South Korea during the Hungnam evacuation, codenamed Christmas Cargo, during the Korean War, just like the protagonist in the movie Ode to My Father, Gukdesijang. On December 23rd of 1950, when he boarded the last military ship Meredith Victory, evacuating from the port Hungnam with his family, he was only 5 years old. The typical number who boarded that cargo ship usually was 60, but Captain Leonard LaRue threw away all military cargo into the ocean and brought on 14,000 refugees left in the port Hungnam. The deck was filled with hordes of people. Our church member, who was 5 at the time, vividly remembered the main snapshots of what he went through on the ship in the freezing winter seas. After 2 days, the ship arrived at the port Jangsungpo in Geosae Island on Christmas Day. After a long time of living abroad up until now, the member confessed it was all by the grace of God and sang a song to remember the past. As a reply to his testimony and song, an elderly member of age 80 sang a hymn. He explained why he likes to sing the hymn 549 throughout his life. On June 25th, 1950, the capital Seoul fell in just 3 days due to the invasion of the North Korean army. On the night of June 27th, when the North Korean army took hold of Seoul, his father called all of his family members and led a family worship. Since he cannot do anything as a human being, his father said, "Let's entrust everything to God." And the hymn that his father led for his family to sing together was the hymn 549, "My Jesus, As Thou Will." The only hope of the father at the desperate time when Seoul fell to the North Korean army was Jesus Christ. After that, while sleeping with other family members, his father passed away from the cannonball that fell into their house. At the spot, the son survived. The father was 38 years old at the time, and a church member was a child of 12. That member said that whenever he thought about his father, tears fell, and so he stopped for a while and was close to tears. He sang the first verse of the hymn 549. "My Jesus, as thou will, O may thy will be mine. Into thy hand of love I would my all resign. Through sorrow or through joy, conduct me as thine own, and help me still to say, my Lord, thy will be done." District members sang verse 2 and 3 together. During the past 80 years, the member said that there were times when his life was about to deviate from the path of the Lord, but whenever he thought of his father who sang, "My Jesus, as thou will," on the night of June 27th in 1950, he could always turn towards the Lord. He was thankful and proud of the fact that he was his father's son. An 80-year-old son who was in his late years was missing his young 38-year-old father who had passed away 68 years ago. His father could not pass on wealth and honor of the world for his son. Instead, the father, who had passed away at an early age of 38, left poverty as the inheritance for his 12-year-old son. And yet, the reason why the 80-year-old son misses the young 38-year-old father was because his father gave a life hoping for Jesus Christ in the valley of death, which was more precious than the wealth and honor of the world. So even though at times he faced difficult times during his 80 years of life, he could walk with the Lord all throughout his life, remembering his father who praised Jesus Christ of hope in the despair of death on the night of June 27th in 1950. That was possible because the son, who had received a life hoping for Jesus Christ from his father as inheritance, had been bound to Jesus Christ, the subject of hope all throughout his life. when the 38-year-old father passed away due to the bombing, he had left a life where the 12-year-old son would have his wrist chained to the Lord. The power of hope comes from the subject of the hope of that person who hopes. So a person who hopes for something one should not hope for is bound to fail. When we will vanish as dust, we cannot come or hope for things in this finite world. Anything of this world cannot give us eternal salvation and life. Jesus Christ, who died on the cross as the offering to save us from the wages of death and sin, Jesus Christ, who conquered death in 3 days and rose again, and Jesus Christ, who is always with us in all places through the Holy Spirit. Only that Jesus Christ can be the purpose and hope of our lives. One who hopes in Jesus Christ can be bound to him even in the cheap barn in the slums. One who hopes in Jesus Christ can praise him, my Lord, as thou will, even in the despair of death due to failing circumstances in life. Children of parents who hope in Jesus Christ can live a life longer than their parents, but still miss them and consider the hymns of their parents as their favorite song throughout their lives. The life of a person who hopes in Jesus Christ will surely be planted with all of God's heart and soul. Let's pray. My Jesus, as thou will, O may thy will be mine. Into thy hand of love I would my all resign. Through sorrow or through joy, conduct me as thine own, and help me still to say, my Lord, thy will be done. My Jesus, as thou will, though seen through many a tear, let not my star of hope grow dim or disappear. Since thou on earth hast wept and sorrow often alone, if I must weep with thee, my Lord, thy will be done. My Jesus, as thou will, all shall be well for me. Each changing future scene I gladly trust with thee. Straight to thy rest above I travel calmly on, and sing in life or death, my Lord, thy will be done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.